The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. This segment is brought to you by Carbach, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Crane was like, the whole fun of being a sports fan is like, it's like the magic of having hope. There's always next year. And I don't have any of that. There's no heart of sports for me. All I care about is like logic and likelihoods and probabilities. That's all I care about.
Gambling has changed you. There's no question.
It has, but I also think like that whole spirit of sports thing, I think that really did get damaged by me being a Buffalo Bills fan when I was a kid.
Coach Ed Orgeron is our guest. When you go into a season like this where everything's uncertain, if you don't know how many fans you're going to have, and if you wind up not being able to have that, how much does that affect your team on the field and your coaching?
Well, we're not going to let it affect us. We're going to have to block out the noise. Whatever happens, we're going to have to deal with it, and it's going to be the same with the other teams. So I think the team that has the mental toughness, I think the team that deals with the task at hand is going to have success.
Here's Fred, AJ, and the brewmaster himself, Eric.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show, you know the number for that. And if you missed the first 2 hours, that's some of what you missed, including Coach Ed Orgeron from the LSU Tigers. Coach O.
Go Tigers.
Yeah, that was really fun. And that is available at Podcast Arena as soon as hour number two goes up.
I think a lot of people thought that like when we announced that we were having Ed Orgeron on, they thought it was going to be like when we had Dr. Phil on.
Right.
But that was actually...
That was the real guy.
Yeah. I have my doubts about whether or not that was the real Dr. Phil that we talked to when the pandemic first broke out. I don't know if that was him, to be honest. But I'm pretty sure that was actually Ed Orgeron.
It was. And this is actually Eric Warner from Carbach.
The Eric Warner?
Our good friend Eric Warner. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing well, man. Probably not better than you, since yesterday apparently you were out of cell range all day.
Yeah, it was my anniversary, and the wife and I went on a hike up in the mountains, kind of like what you were doing, AJ, but we were at 12,000 feet, and, you know, these thunderstorms roll up every day around noon, 1 o'clock, and we got kind of caught in one, and so we were, like, pinned down beneath this scrubby little tree for, like, an hour. And so, yeah, by the time I got out, I saw your text. It was like, hey, dude, you coming on the show? And it was like, oh, man, it was already, like, 6 o'clock when I saw it. So, but, hey, here I am today. I've got a nice, cold, very fresh Carbach Oktoberfest in my hand.
Ooh, when's that coming out?
So that's starting to ship into our distributors now, because you all crushed it, all you Houstonians and Texans did a great job cleaning us out of the tasty waves. So we're having to release the Carbach Oktoberfest a little bit earlier than we normally would. So, yeah, look for it in your stores. Like, if there's a store that doesn't have Tasty Waves, like they're out of it, then Carbach Oktoberfest should be in there any day.
Well, that's why you need to get your ass back to Houston, because I like to get that first taste. And
I need to come up with a way to get you guys some of this, and I will. I can have somebody at the brewery FedEx it, but that always seems like super impractical.
I mean, Eric, here's what you could have done. You could have said, hey, AJ, swing by the brewery and we'll have beer for you. That way, when I'm on the air with you and we're talking about Carbach Oktoberfest, you and Fred can have some Carbach Oktoberfest with me.
All right, I dropped the ball on that.
What a
dude.
Dope.
It's a rare EW fail, but I have completely dropped the ball.
Ugh.
So, how I'm sure you've talked about this a little bit on the show, but what were your beer highlights from your trip?
I have long wanted to go to Ale Apothecary. And they're one of my favorite breweries, and they've always had like really crazy hours. Like they would before they had a tap room. They used to not have a tap room, but you could come by and they'd open some bottles for you. And but they were open like Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, from like 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. and that was it. I was like, how the hell am I ever going to make that work? And now they've got a new little tap room, and they're open somewhat normal hours. And I think it's just the dude and his wife, like, are the only ones. They were the only ones there that day. But I think for the most part, that's the staff. And I got to sit there and sample a few of their beers, four or five of their beers, and got to take some bottles home. But that's one of my favorite spots. So it was nice to get up there and get that. The other highlight would be on finding it on shelves that there's now Degard and Dreyfontainen is getting put on shelves in Bend. Like, I just walked into a shop and it's like, oh, here's some 3F Creek. And I was like, oh, well, that's – and it's like $13. That's really great. So those were the highlights for me.
So I was talking to a buddy of mine out there, and you know, this little town I'm in Colorado is just, I mean, I kid you not, probably a third of the license plates you see right now are Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas. I was talking to a buddy of mine who lives in Bend, and he said it was crazy busy there. Did you notice that?
So obviously there's a ton of breweries in that little town. And we went brewery hopping on Saturday, and there were two breweries we stopped intending to drink there, and there was just too many people, so we left. And one of them was Tin Barrel. And to be fair, it wasn't like there was too many people in the place. There was a line to get into the place because they weren't just letting everybody who wanted to go in. It was like two in or two out, two in kind of a deal. And I just wasn't going to wait in line. And it was the same way at Crux Fermentation Project. And we ended up going back to Crux later in the week, and there was no one there during the day. But at night, Tin Barrel's got two locations now in Bend, and they were both pretty they were both pretty slammed. So we ended up skipping out on that just because there was too many people. But the breweries we went to, they all were social distanced. They had, like, you know, you the tables were all super far apart, and you apparently there are some places you have to wait on a table, and I wasn't into that.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, that's going to be an interesting thing to see with restaurants, you know, when this all sort of shakes out, is, you know, I think it's going to be like the new norm. Like, you read some recent pieces that are talking about New York where they're saying, you know, shoot, a third to 40% of the restaurants are going to close. Well, you know, once we either get the vaccine or herd immunity or whatever, there's going to be this like rush of people wanting to go out, but yet the supply of restaurants is going to be so much less that I think like waiting is going to be this kind of unpleasant new norm. Yet we're all going to be like really psyched to go out because we haven't been able to in a while. So I think we'll sort of end up tolerating it. I mean, what do you guys think?
Well, I think that's sort of the issue with when and if they say, okay, guys, everything's back to normal, you can go out and have fun. Now there's so many people who haven't gone out and done stuff for so long that there's going to be like, you know, 100 dudes at the strip club getting their faces twerked on. And it's, you know, there's going to be the COVID-20 is going to hit us, and it's just going to start all over again. So I do think that there is going to be, whenever they do open things back up, there is going to be sort of a rush to get out and do stuff. And hell, we saw it here, you know, when they first opened bars back up, what everybody do, they went straight to the bar.
Yeah.
Which it's human nature, but we just got to, I don't know, we got to be smart about it, I guess, somehow.
So you guys are Yellowstone fans, right?
Yes.
So
don't spoil anything. I'm not caught up yet.
Oh no! If this spoils anything, I'd be shocked. But some of this year's episodes, they're showing them drinking, beers that are kind of local to that part of the country. And there's one, it's called Lost Cabin. And look for it if you haven't seen that episode yet. But I think they're in the bunkhouse or something. But a buddy of mine was up in South Dakota, and I'm thinking, oh, South Dakota, man, they can't have good beer up there. But he brought some back, and I'll be darned, man, it's pretty good.
What's funny is when I used to. You remember that show Longmire? Did you watch that?
Yeah, a little bit. I didn't get. It didn't hook me.
So Sheriff Longmire always drank Rainier beer.
Yeah.
And I went up, and they've got that in the Pacific Northwest, and I got it, and it is awful. I mean, it's basically Pacific Northwest Natty Light or PBR. I mean, it's horrible, horrible beer. But that's So I don't try beer based off of television shows anymore. Well, I didn't know they were drinking craft on Yellowstone, though.
Yeah, it was kind of odd because you'd expect that. Now, don't get me wrong. There's the latest episode. Rip is walking around with a six pack of Banquet. So most of those guys are drinking, that kind of beer. Coors obviously likes to position themselves as the beer of the cowboy, right? But yeah, it was interesting to see these craft breweries, having placements in there. And obviously they're paying for that, right?
Oh, they've got to be.
What
truck they drive to all that stuff is, I think that's all there's all money being exchanged over that stuff.
Yeah. Nothing is free anymore. Right, fellas?
Exactly. Except Carboctoberfest when you tell me.
I will hook you up. I promise. So we'll do a reprise of this in a couple weeks, and I'll crack a can, and then I'll make sure. So you're willing to swing by and get some beer?
Yeah.
All right.
Of course.
We'll make that happen.
Have you ever said, hey, AJ, can you come by the brewery? I've got some beer for you. And I was like, come by the brewery? That's way too difficult for me. I'm not going to go all the way over there to get free beer. Have I ever said that to you once since I've known you?
No. You're right.
No.
Of course.
It's like you don't even know me.
Well, normally, I mean, if it wasn't the COVID times, right, I think it'd be a little different. But I'm not like, I don't know how. And I remember when you picked up that beer for the river trip, it was kind of a hassle because I had to have you, do it in a little bit different way than we've done it in the past when you picked up beer.
I mean,
so.
It was a hassle only because it was different, but it was also not a hassle because guess what happened that time? Someone brought the beer out to my car and just put it in there for me. I mean, it was like, in some ways, it was even easier.
Yeah, that's true. There's nothing better when somebody loads it in the back of your pickup for you, right?
I didn't have to haul it myself. So, yeah, it wasn't a pain in the ass at all. All right, you around for another segment or are you out of here?
No, I'd love to, guys.
All right.
This segment is brought to you by Carbach, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Fred, AJ, and the brewmaster himself, Eric.
And we're back on the Blitz. And one thing I've wanted to try, just you talk about from watching something on TV.
Two chicks at the same time.
We've all done that. Come on. But Letterkenny, all they drink is Puppers beer. And I've never had Puppers. Have you ever had that, Eric?
I haven't, and I'm with you, Fred. Like, that was one of my lockdown binges is Letterkenny. I just fell in love with that show. My son actually turned me on to it, and I think because he had said pitter-patter, let's get at her when we were going to do something. I'm like, what is that? Anyway, but yeah, I really want to try Puppers. And have you heard any? I mean, obviously, we could probably look on Untappd or something, but and then obviously want to try some Gusson Brew as well.
Yeah, that show's hilarious. I thought season 8 was the best one when they went back to playing hockey and they had all the fake hockey announcers talking about them. I mean, that show's just, there's so many quotable lines from it too, and
it's really you know, at first you look at it and, it, you know, first blush, it's kind of like, all right, this is just some, you know, dopey college kids putting something together. But the writing on that, and like, I love when they do the, I guess, for lack of a word, I'd say, you know, either word games or wordplay at the beginning of some of the episodes.
Yeah.
I mean, that is just genius. And the way they execute it, they're really, really talented group.
They are, and I was kind of bummed because they were coming to town to do a show at UH right when the COVID hit, so they canceled the show. And we got tickets like the first day they were available, so I was really excited about that. And that's another thing that's never going to happen now. But yeah, I'm glad you're on that show. But I'll find a way to get us some puppers. I do have some contacts in Ontario, so I'll work on that.
Try it. It's a lager, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They're not going to ship anything to the United States of America these days.
Yeah, now they'll ship something here. They just won't let us go up there. Like, I can't go to the border and have them hand it across to me.
But I should be heading to on next Tuesday. Should have been heading to Saskatoon, where we were then going to get on a plane to go all the way up to the border of Saskatchewan and Northwest Territories for a fishing trip, but wah, wah, wah.
Well, it's not like you don't, it's too bad you don't have any place to fish by you, Eric. Wah. I was going to go to Saskatoon to fish because there's just no good fishing where I am. Haven't all you done is fish for like the last 3-4 weeks?
Hey, when I was recovering for the COVID, now that's when I think I told you guys this last show. That's when you know you're like, I know I'm really sick, is if like beer, the thought of beer sounds terrible. And then like if I don't even want to like go out and fish, then I know like something's wrong. But yes, I've made up for it in the last couple of weeks, AJ, for sure.
Okay. I mean, thank God. I didn't want you to be underfished.
Hey, so speaking of, and you guys probably talked about this yesterday, and AJ, it's probably good I wasn't on yesterday because, my God, what a great, you know, barrage of sports we now have. But did you see that, the end of that Avalanche game, Fred?
I did, yeah.
Oh, God, no.
That was incredible.
Yeah, I've been telling, I've been bragging all day about having all day hockey to watch now. It's like the best thing in the world. And tell you what, man, the Avs are going to be a very interesting team here in this thing. I like the way they're kind of doing the round robin for the seeding, but I think they're going to be really tough in this thing.
Here's a theory, Fred. I want to float by you. This is a fascinating. I really think the NHL, to me, they seem to be pulling this off, you know, very well. And, you know, the nice thing about hockey is the crowd visuals, I think, are some of the least important relative to other sports. So, and it's just, you know, nonstop action, few commercial breaks. But I just wonder if you get the number one or two seed, like you get that hot team that all of a sudden has figured it out now. And it may not be as big of an advantage as it would be like in the regular season, right? So let's say the Avs do get the number one seed, but you know, they get somebody who's red hot. What do you think about that?
Well,
and I guess the same applies to lesser extent with NBA, because they're keeping the normal seeding, right?
Yeah, well, they're going to play it out normally for the most part, but what they're doing here, I think it's going to be an advantage for the teams that are in these 5-game series, because if they're, I mean, these, they're losing, you're out. The other ones are just kind of playing for seeding, so I don't think it really is going to make a big difference between, you know, 1, 2, or 3 seed. So I think this could be a year that one of the teams gets upset. It happens every year. It happened to Tampa last year, but
right.
I think you could see. You can see somebody sneak out of this this group that's going on now, and it's been amazing to watch. They pulled it off, and I think it actually helps the players to not have fans, because they can communicate a hell of a lot better. You can actually hear each other out there.
Yeah, yeah, that's a great point. For some reason, it's just baseball is just. I mean, just looking at all those empty seats, and again, that's part of the problem is with baseball. you know, the camera angles are such that you're just going to see more of the stadium, right?
Right.
So, it's good to have it all back. And, you know, looks like baseball may have dodged a bullet because, two of the three teams are playing again. So, you know, we'll see. But, man, the Astros, I'm sure you guys talked about that earlier. They just keep getting bad news after bad news.
Yeah. I mean, it almost seems like a cursed season for them. I don't believe in stuff like that, but it does kind of feel that way, given what we've seen so far. But, you know, I'm sure there's a bunch of other fan bases who are perfectly happy that that's happening to the Astros. Don't feel bad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that is the sad truth. What else you guys drinking these days? What's your COVID go-tos right now?
I've been mostly on vodka, believe it or not, as opposed to beer.
I believe it.
I did pick up a couple of Nuke the Whales that I found at Specs, so I've got those that I'm going to knock out here in the next couple nights. But yeah, I found this vodka from California that I really liked that they have at Total Wine, so it's been vodka.
What are you mixing it with, Fred?
Water.
That's a sign of someone who's only drinking to get drunk.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I'm trying to lose weight, and that's the least damaging drink. I mean,
is it?
Pretty much.
Okay. I feel like, I don't know, like, I guess so. Tequila soda, vodka soda, anything.
Actually,
like that,
I think
probably.
Gin is the lightest one, but vodka's second.
Okay.
As far as calories.
It's made of potatoes, though. Aren't there carbs in potatoes?
But all that gets fermented out, AJ.
Oh, well, there you go. I guess it's okay then. I mean, are you boozing up there in the mountains, or is it just beer for you?
No, I drink a little whiskey once in a while. I got this bottle I really dig. It's an Old Forester 1920. It's like cask strength, so it's like, 60%, 57.5%. Found that on sale at the local liquor store here, and so having some of that. And I like the I know you guys are gonna laugh, but you know, hey, for you beer cocktail people out there, I've come up with this great one. I took some Tasty Waves, mixed it with some gin, a little soda water, and I don't know if you guys have seen those San Pellegrino sodas. They're kind of like natural juice soda. They still have a buttload of sugar in them, but there's a prickly pear orange one, and that combination of those things is just amazingly refreshing on a hot day.
When you say a hot day, how hot exactly is it up there?
Oh, it's not. AJ, I said... After I moved to Houston, I said there's two things I will never complain about in Colorado again, and that's heat and traffic. So, yeah, like, it's 90 today and people are complaining. But with, like, you know, 20% humidity, it feels like, you know, it'd be 80 in Houston, right?
Right. Well, now, what I will say, I don't know what it's like there, but having spent that time up in the Pacific Northwest, and I'm always fascinated by this every time I go up there, no one has air conditioning. Do people in Colorado, at least, are they smart enough to say, you know what, let's have air conditioning just in case?
You know, when we lived here before, down in Denver, we had a swamp cooler, which in low humidity climates is actually a great option because it cools down at night. And so there's only like a few hours, you know, from like noon to seven or something where, you know, it can get uncomfortable in your house. But a lot of the newer houses will have, you know, they'll have an AC unit. Most of the houses like in Denver are all central air, right? So there's like a duct system going through your house, kind of like in similar to Texas. But a lot of the newer places will have it, but yeah, older places and older apartments, you know, and that's where you feel it, right? If you're in an apartment like on the third floor, you have to get like a window unit or something for the summer for sure.
Well, that's good. I'll never understand it. And I've been looking at I'm looking at some houses up there in the Pacific Northwest, and almost none of them have, even like new builds, don't come with air conditioning. It's very odd to me.
Well, you've probably talked to and experienced it yourself, but talked to some of your friends up there. You know, Oregon, like, they'll get a couple of these heat waves in the summer that might last a week or two, and it gets pretty miserable, but they don't, you know, other than that, and especially in Bend, right? Because it gets pretty cool at night there, doesn't it?
It does. It gets down to, like, the 40s at night in the summertime.
So, you know, and that's the trick. If you got a well, like our place up in Salida, we just open up all the windows at night and then shut everything when we get up in the morning. And like, you know, it's 90 outside, but my house right now is reading 70. So, but I got it down to when I woke up this morning, it was like 60 degrees inside the house. So a lot of people will do that, you know, but yeah, I'm all about the very refreshing, you know, beer cocktail beverages to quench your thirst. And, I want to start working on that, getting into a can. I think the canned cocktail thing is where it's at. But the hard part is,
licensing.
You know, you put real juice or something into a can, and you get like sedimentation. You end up getting something looking like those Odwalla drinks in the supermarket, and so figuring out the shelf stability on that is kind of the hard part.
Well, is it safe to assume that you're never coming back here?
No, I'll be back. I'll be back. I like I said, probably you know September sometime. I'll be back. I am doing some work up here, believe it or not, AJ.
Like how often do you do work stuff? Like once a week?
No, a little more than that. Like last week we had a lot of, you know, planning, meeting, conferences, kind of, you know, talking about next year and what the post-COVID or whatever the next iteration of this craziness is, you know, what that looks like. Because, you know, obviously we're having to sort of retool our business plans to, okay, there's a lot more action going on in the grocery stores and liquor stores and not as much in the bars. So, you know, what does that mean? And when do we see things kind of switching back? And so, yeah, there's a lot of planning going on. And then obviously, you know, for my part of that is, you know, what does that mean on the production side? You know, these one trend I think we've talked about is these larger format packages like the Ultimate Party Pack that we have now. I mean, those are really doing well at retail. So we're having to kind of rethink, you know, what package sizes we're putting everything out in. So, no, I'm working up here, man. I can still make it. Technology is a difference maker, that's for sure.
Is obviously, the beer that we made is going to be, that's really what's going to put together things for next quarter, I think, right?
Yeah, we got to figure out when and what. I mean, like I told you, that beer is, because it's so big and robust, it's just sitting fine in the cooler and in the barrel. But, yeah, we got to, you know, if we don't get to the, you know, being able to do something with that by, you know, November, we're going to have a big party, AJ, I think.
I think you're right. They did put, now, I dropped off that barrel. They did put a bunch of it in that barrel?
Yeah, yep.
Okay, well, that's good. I mean, COVID is just giving it time to age, then, is what we're saying.
Bingo.
All
bingo.
Right.
And Fred, so here's the thing I'm happiest about. Our county was under a burn ban for the last 4 months because it was so dry and we got a bunch of rain. So when they lifted that ban last week, I had the most massive bonfire ever, and Fred, it was just the wife who doesn't drink a lot of beer, so I'm waiting. I got some people coming up this weekend. We're going to do a fire, and I think we're going to try the Falcon beer.
Awesome, awesome. Well, I'll be curious to know what you think, and yeah, we should be able to, I got to talk to Tom, we should be able to test the early version of the barrel-aged here pretty soon.
Be patient.
Yeah, that's been in the barrel now for a couple months, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think March it was when it went in. So.
Oh, yeah, that could be getting into the zone, man. That could, you know, and that's the fun part about it. You taste it, and you just keep tasting it, and then you kind of know. It's like, all right, this is ready. You know, any more, and it starts getting, like, too woody. You get, like, too much wood spice.
So, I think you need to go pay those guys a visit and see how it's coming along.
Well, let me know what you think, man.
All right. That's
I will.
That's Eric Warner from Carbach. Appreciate the time, man. Thanks for being in cell range today. I know it's very difficult for you. And enjoy the rest of your quote-unquote work up there in Colorado.
Working hard, guys. Thank you.
All right. I got to tell you guys about Elite Health, and let's talk about it. BPH, enlarged prostate. Maybe you got those problems, and maybe the doctor said, well, yeah, I can solve those problems for you. All I got to do is put a drill in your pee hole. And you said, wait, that sounds horrible. And you're right. It does sound horrible. And it, you know what? I don't know for a fact, but I'm guessing it probably is horrible. Well, Dr. Andrew Doe from Elite Health said, that sounds horrible to me too. So he said, I'm going to start doing this. It's a better option. PAE is what it's called. It's an advanced, minimally invasive procedure that uses x-ray technology to treat your prostate. Dr. Doe's the first guy in Houston to do it. He's done more than anybody here. He's the guy you want doing this thing for you. He's saving you from having to put a drill in your pee hole. He knows you don't want that, so he's got you covered. It's covered by most insurance plans. Learn more today, 832-860-4618. That's 832-860-4618. And check them out at choosepae.com. That's choosepae.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Pepper asked on Twitter, ask Eric if there's going to be a foam hinge this year. I don't think there's any.
I would guess not.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I mean, you can't really plan any of these things out because you just don't know. And you could plan something now and say, okay, we're doing it on, you know, November X. And
right, then, but you have no idea if you're actually going to be able to do it.
Right, so. And the who knows how long these things are.
And also trying to book a band right now is probably not easy.
Yeah, and that's something that I think is going to be another big problem for a while. And we were talking about Letterkenny and 713 says Canadian actors and actresses are just as good as British actresses and actors. They have good schools up there for it. He's from Edmonton.
They're not just as good as British. British people are better at it than everybody. Don't you know that?
Yeah, the British are the best at everything. All you have to do is ask them. But no, the reason that there's so many good actors and bands and comedians up there is the Canadian content law on radio and TV. And you basically have to have a certain percentage has to be all Canadian. It gives opportunities for them to develop. It's a pretty cool law. It screws a guy like
pretty
me.
Pretty racist law, if you ask me.
Yeah, not racist. It's bigoted is what it is.
That's right.
But because there was a time I was hoping to go work for a station in Toronto and I couldn't get a job there unless I sat out for a year and worked on getting my citizenship and all that.
And it does say if they can prove that you're absolutely unquestionably more qualified than any Canadian for it, then you can get the job.
Yeah, but that's a really hard thing to get somebody to do, and because you could always say, "Oh, what about this guy?"
And Eric just confirmed no foam hinge this year.
Yeah. Okay. So, well,
I could have told you that.
Yeah. Well, you did.
Oh.
But he confirmed.
Yeah.
So you're kind of doing the ESPN thing. ESPN has learned there will be no foam hinge.
ESPN has learned there will be no foam hinge this year.
And you know, Eric is Eric's your source. That's not bad. Or, and of course, now he's saying he's confirming it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm lost. It has to do with the monkeys.
The macaques.
Yeah. They took the show in a whole different direction than I wasn't planning for. So
took the show and shoved it
up your pee hole. No. Mine says, today I found out the state of Texas sales tax has increased 5%. I'm shocked, but they said more people are shopping online and businesses in Texas.
Increased 5%?
Yeah.
That can't be right.
No. I would have heard about that, I'm sure.
Ooh, that'll get people to move away in a hurry.
Yeah. If you got a link to anything that says something about that, please post it.
That's another thing that's great about Oregon. No sales tax.
Yeah, but you're paying income tax, right?
Yeah. I mean, well, most states outside of Texas, you pay income tax. But there's most states, you also pay.
There's actually more than you think that don't have it. I saw a list, and, you know, it's Houston and Florida. I mean, or Texas and Florida are the two biggest ones. But I can't remember who all they were, but there were a couple of you guys. Oh, okay.
Alaska, Florida, Nevada, South Dakota, Texas, Washington, and Wyoming.
Yeah, Washington kind of shocked me a little bit.
So, but, you know, that no sales tax thing, I guess with like just state taxes, when I lived in states that I had state taxes, I guess I never really considered it. It's just, well, they're just taking money. It is what it is. But with sales tax, it's like, oh, that says it's $100, and then you give them a $100 bill and that's it. That's kind of like you notice it, I guess.
Yeah, well, I mean, but then, like, what is it? It'll be like $3 for your $100. I don't know. I don't mind sales tax that much. I do mind income tax.
Yeah, that pisses me off.
Because, I mean, the federal government gets enough of my crap as it is. And I don't need the state in there.
No, I'm with you.
But, you know, hey, that's, you know, there's a lot of... That's why states are all different.
Now Lamont's freaking me out. I hope that's not true.
Yeah, I
that's a massive jump. There's a 5% jump. That sounds outrageous to me.
Yeah, I need to see. You didn't mean the tax increase. You mean the revenue generated from sales tax. Okay.
Oh,
much
okay.
Different. Yeah, now that's well, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
So.
Damn. You got me freaking out here.
Yeah.
Like, I'm about to move right now. I got to figure out where I'm going.
Yeah, it's like going back to Oregon right now.
Yeah.
Out of here.
You ain't getting me, Texas.
Oh. Yeah, I was all happy here. And you guys were about to chase me away. Back to Canada, except they won't let me in.
Yeah, you don't even have options anymore.
Yeah. See, he was trying to say more people are shopping.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and that's surprising, though, because it's not like more people are making money.
That's true. But I'll be honest. If people are like my wife, they're finding that what's happening a lot during COVID is they're buying a lot of stuff on the internet.
Well, we've heard all about some of the things you guys have purchased when they were stolen. And,
You mean when I was a victim of a crime, and now you're trying to shame me on my purchases?
I'm not going to shame you for buying a backpack for a dog. That's and anything with the word artisanal in it. I would never shame you for those things.
I mean, come on.
Oh, man. Hey, and I'm very sorry those things were stolen.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we only have one segment left.
That's it?
Yeah. But this is where you tell them about TGS.
TGS Insurance. Speaking of, like I said, you pay taxes, you don't even realize it. TGS Insurance. You pay home insurance, don't even realize it. You're just paying. You're like, oh, well, that I could have used that money on something more fun. Well, now you can have more of that money back in your pocket because TGS Insurance, they are saving folks money. On average, they're saving folks nearly $900 a year. So $900 this year, last year, the year before. Now you're into the thousands. And me personally, I saved over $1,000 annually on my home insurance policy by working through TGS. And it's so simple. All you do is text the word money to 232323. They're going to ask for your address. You reply back with that, and they've already done the legwork. They already know what they can get you, what kind of insurance they can get you, for how much, and they know your area. It's simple. It's fast. It's easy. And it's real. There's no need to wait for your renewal. They're going to get you refunded on your old policy. They're open now. Text the word money to 232323. Start saving today.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5, broadcasting safely with our masks from Boomer Naturals.
Order now at boomernaturals.com and use promo code ESPN Houston for 20% off.
You
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis. You want to get in on soccer, that's the place to do it. 7 o'clock tonight. I'll be listening on the way home. All right, let's do a little Hey Man Bleep That. Easy for me to say. I think I'm running out of steam here.
I've got a good Hey Man Bleep That.
Okay.
About, we were just talking during the Twitch break about punishing people for masks. What about this? On the morning of July 15th, 2019, Jawanza Watson and a coworker were walking to the coworker's car after finishing their shifts at Firehouse Bar in San Diego. 2 a.m. I was drunk, you know. I was having a good time. I know I was feeling myself, Watson said, who now lives in Minneapolis. I was rapping a song, but it had cursing in it. Watson remembers a police car rolling up slowly beside him and his coworker, windows down. An officer got out and stopped Watson, claiming that the lyrics he'd been singing had been directed at the police. The officer had apparently told Watson through the police car window to stop singing, but Watson said he didn't hear the order. The co-worker, Keelan Chapman, backed up Watson's versions of the events. The officer wound up giving Watson a ticket for violating Section 5630 of the city code, which reads, "It is declared to be unlawful for any person within the city of San Diego to utter or use within the hearing of one or more persons any seditious language, words, or epithets." So basically, this law was introduced in 1918, which is basically saying you're not allowed to curse in public. It's illegal. It's a crime. What? I mean, I think San Diego is like a pretty progressive place.
Yeah.
They've got a 102-year-old law in the book. You know what I mean? And you'd think, oh, they probably never. It's probably not real. Eight of 11 people cited for using seditious language since 2018 were black.
Oh.
So it seems like they're only using this against black people. But I don't know. I mean, and now there's people coming out First Amendment. You know, it's a whole big deal. But now we've got, I think it says since 2013, over 100 people have been ticketed on this thing. That's insane to me for cursing in public. We got to get away from this. That's what we call overstep, folks.
Yeah.
And as someone who cusses all the time, I say, hey, man, that.
How about you, Aaron?
Mine actually goes kind of hand in hand with AJ's. A woman was recently put in handcuffs by police in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, while she was, you know, frolicking on the beach in a bikini, and the bikini bottom she had on specifically were a thong bottom. And police came up and said, you can't wear that because that's technically classified as nude, according to laws of Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. So she argued with them, and her boyfriend started recording as they put her in handcuffs. And she did resist a little bit and, you know, act kind of diva-ish, but I understand her frustration, and they probably didn't approach her too nicely about it. But after a 20-minute video, one of the officers explains that it's Section 14-83 of the city's municipal code states, quote, "Public exposure of specified anatomical parts is unlawful. It shall be unlawful for any person to intentionally appear in a public place in such a state of dress or undress as to expose to the view of others the human, male or female genitals, pubic area, pubic hair, buttocks, anus, vulva, or any portion of the breast at or below the areola thereof."
So you can't show underboob?
Nope.
Oh, that's a crime.
You can't show underboob.
Where is this again?
Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
All these beach towns. What's going on with you guys?
Exactly. And she's got a pretty nice body. She's a little bit too inked up for me. But if a woman like that decides she wants to hang out and, you know, get a nice tan with a thong bikini on in the
You're
beach.
You're not going to complain?
No city should ever tell her to stop. So for one more time of government overstepping boundaries and just making stupid laws and not repealing them as life gets more progressive, I say, hey, man, fuck that.
All right, we go to Australia for mine, the state of Victoria.
Oi, oi, oi.
Well, I'd rather talk about, I forgot about to talk about it today, but the trailer for The Boys dropped. Looks fantastic.
Oh.
But speaking of F-words, probably illegal in San Diego. But, yeah, I don't understand why this the mask thing is still a problem for people. Two female officers approached a 38-year-old woman to ask her why she wasn't wearing a face covering. And apparently, she assaulted the police officers.
When you say assaulted...
Got one of them on the ground and smashed her head onto the ground.
Oh, like actually assaulted?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say she like...
No.
Coughed on him or something.
Beat the crap out of her. And the woman had... the police officer are out there trying to protect these guys and look out for them. And now they're getting the crap beat out of them by crazy women. I don't know why the mask thing is even still an issue. And the people that are doing it now, I think they're doing it for attention. But don't beat up a cop for that. Especially a lady cop. An Australian lady cop. To that I say, hey, man, f*** that.
Oi, man.
That sounded like Baytown Badass goes to Australia.
Oi, man. Oi, you leave them lady cops alone. Them lady coppers.
Yeah, that's a tough one to mix. That's a tough blend.
Yeah, I don't think you can make that one work.
No.
All right, that is going to mercifully wrap it up. We didn't have our usual, we may have had our usual Tuesday texters. I just ignored them, so.
Good call.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to make that a policy from now on. All right. Great job, Aaron. Good job, AJ. Nah, you did a great job. I'll give you credit. That was okay. We'll do it again tomorrow. Till then, stay Rona free, bitches.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.